St. Dominic's Catholic Church in San Francisco presents a homily by Deacon Dan Rosen on July 7th, 2019, the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today's Gospel is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 12 and 17 to 20, proclaimed by Deacon Jimmy Salcido.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You can always tell it's summer here in San Francisco. Fog and fireworks come together. All right, we're in the midst of summer. But of course, there are other things that remind us of summer, right? Camping trips to the Sierras, fishing at Castle Craigs, gathering at the cabin at the Russian River, or hiking at Lake Tahoe, or beachcombing in Monterey and Long Beach, perhaps a trip back home to visit relatives. What are your summer vacation plans? You know, sometimes we think that summer is a time to be less spiritual. I remember a long time ago there used to be a little saying, "There's no vacation from your vocation." A couple nods there, yeah, they heard that one, right? But I think perhaps we might look at summer a different way, perhaps from a different perspective, because I think vacations can actually be helpful in helping us deepen our vocation, our spiritual life. Consider this reflection. For summer may be the most unconscious and muddled of seasons. There is divine wisdom in this. We desperately need time to deflect from the tiresome egotism of being forever useful and the pressure to know everything. Summer draws us into a labyrinth of sacred confusion, whereby becoming lost, we discover aspects of ourselves that habit, routine, and duty have held in check. I remember when I was working, another little saying, "The routine drives out the important." Summer allows us to remind ourselves of what is most important. As we interrupt our routine, as we take time to leisure away our days, as we pause and pray, "Let all the earth cry out to God with joy." As we pause and consider how to be that new creation that St. Paul speaks of, and to reflect on our own discipleship as portrayed in the gospel. Do we count ourselves as one of the 72? Do we see ourselves as modern-day disciples? Do we embrace that role of being a disciple of Christ? As we spend our summer, then, as disciples, do we create opportunities to model our faith? Does vacation help us to create peace in our hearts that we're willing to share? And when relaxing, do we try to become more generous and available to those around me, to those who might need me? and in our quiet moments? Do we pray to Jesus for that grace to share our faith and be open to others? That grace of Jesus is the force beyond ourselves by which God makes the impossible come to be in our life. Our gospel today shows us a picture of disciples who are ready to go all in for Jesus. If we think about our own lives and kind of the struggle, the spiritual tension we experience, I think it might be about answering those questions. Who owns me? To whom do I belong? And am I ready to go all in? The gospel relates the great works of those early disciples because they knew the answers to these questions. Their powerful deeds came from the flowing confidence that they had in Jesus, who they felt held them securely in his hand. They allowed their true identity in Christ to play out through their actions. They listened and were all in. Each and every one of us, when we were baptized, the priest said these words and made this gesture: I claim you for Christ the Savior by the sign of the cross, and now trace the sign of the cross on your forehead. May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so, what do we boast about? If we have forgotten to boast in the Lord Jesus, consider using your summer vacation to allow the unfamiliar to shock us into realizing that we are awash in mystery. In deep summer, God woos us into the wilderness of unknowing, where we are tempted by deeper senses. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. I don't think he's joyful. And to see a deeper sense, perhaps we can listen to how a poet might describe that experience. This is The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what prayer is. I don't know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down into the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? The disciples listened to Jesus and were all in with their one wild and precious life, following his admonition, carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this household. And if a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on them. Whenever you enter a town and they welcome you, cure the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. In our world, filled with so much violence and hatred and killing and war, what can we make of Jesus' direction? How are peace and the kingdom present today? This is how Thomas Merton understood it. To some, peace means the liberty to exploit other people without fear of retaliation. To others, peace means the freedom to rob without interruption. To still others, it means the leisure to devour the goods of the earth without sharing with those who are starving. But to practically everybody, peace simply means the absence of any physical violence, that might cast a shadow on their lives as they seek to be satisfied and comfortable. The Cold War is simply the normal consequence of our idea of a peace that is based on a policy of every man for himself in ethics, economics, and political life. It is absurd to hope for a solid peace based on fictions and illusions. And so instead of loving what you think is peace, love others and love God above all else. And instead of hating the people you think are war makers, hate the appetites and the disorder in your own soul, which are the causes of war and violence. If you love peace, then hate injustice, hate tyranny, and hate greed. But hate these things in yourself, not in another. And so we pray that the grace of Jesus, that is that force beyond ourselves by which God makes the impossible come to be in our life, that makes us ready and willing to go all in as his disciples and try to figure out what is it that we plan to do with our one wild and precious life.